In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I want to invite Jesus to my dinner party. Lots of people talk about inviting Jesus in, but if you listen to this account from Luke's Gospel, I'm not sure I want to invite Jesus in. He comes to a dinner party at the house of a Pharisee, and the first thing he does is provoke the Pharisees. Sort of like somebody of the opposite political persuasion coming to your house for dinner and immediately starting in. Jesus comes and he answers the lawyers and the Pharisees, but they haven't said anything. What they are doing is watching him. They're watching him, and he answers them. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Jesus already knows the answer that they will give. They don't say it, but he knows it. Just before this, not too long before, Jesus had healed somebody in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the leader of the synagogue said, "There are 6 other days on which to be healed. Come on those days and be healed instead of on the Sabbath." Seems reasonable, 6 other days to be healed, but Jesus doesn't care for that kind of reasoning. Jesus takes the man who's there, who's suffering, and he heals him, because the Sabbath is about healing. The Sabbath is about rest and restoration, not about keeping some rules, although they don't keep even those rules. Jesus says to them, if your son or even your ox falls into a well on the Sabbath day, you're going to immediately pull that one out, aren't you? The answer is, of course, yes. You're not going to wait another day. You're going to pull him out. Jesus says, I'm pulling this man out of his sickness. Strike one, provoking the Pharisees. Then Jesus embarrasses the guests. He's been watching them, and he sees how they are looking for the best seats, the most important seats. Now, this, I don't think, has very much of a parallel for us. No one's fighting for these seats up here. And even when we have people over for dinner, usually there aren't assigned seats unless it's a very formal occasion. But generally, people know who's in the wedding party. They're not up there trying to take their seats. Maybe if there was someone famous, we might try to sit closer to that person. But generally, this doesn't really have a parallel for us. But at this time, people knew that the most important seats were the seats that were closest to the host. That's where they're trying to sit. The most important people sit closest to the host. And Jesus has been watching this, and he says, when you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the most important place. Because what if your host invited someone more important than you? Then he's going to come and say, get up, this person's sitting here, and you're going to have to stand up in front of everyone and go to whatever seat is left. And it's worse than that because they recline at dinner. So it's going to take a little bit longer than just getting up out of your chair. Instead, he says, take the lowest place. Take the least important place. And then your host will come and say, friend, come up higher. The one who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. Strike two, embarrassing the guests. And then, to top it off, he insults his host. He insults his host. He says to his host, you shouldn't have invited the people that you invited, which I guess includes Jesus. You shouldn't have invited the people that you invited. Instead, you should have invited the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, people who cannot repay you, people who aren't going to invite you to their house next weekend, and so you get back what you put in. No, invite people who can't repay you, because then you will be blessed, because you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Strike three. Provoking the Pharisees, embarrassing the guests, insulting the host. I don't know if you want to invite Jesus to your dinner party. You don't know what he's going to say. And actually, it gets worse because even though we didn't hear it this morning, this goes on at this dinner party. Jesus actually continues the parable. Now, if you heard that, it said that Jesus told them a parable, but it didn't sound like a parable. It sounded like just, here's what you should do. But it is a parable, and the parable continues after this for the next 10 verses. Jesus talks about a certain man who was going to have a feast. And he had already sent out all of the invitations, and he was preparing the feast, and now it's ready, and he sends out his servants to go invite all of the people who were invited and tell them it's ready. I don't know if they knew the date of the party or not, but the servants are going to make sure that they know it's today. Come to the feast, it's ready. But when the servants go out and talk to the people who were invited, they all alike, Luke says, or Jesus says, they all alike had excuses. They all alike had reasons why they couldn't come. All of them. Some had bought fields, had to go check them out. Some had bought oxen and had to go inspect them. Some had gotten married, so they couldn't come. And the servants come back and report this. Now, none of those things are bad things. They're not wrong. It's not bad to buy a field. It's not bad to buy oxen to plow the field. It's not bad to get married. None of those things are wrong unless they take the place of the party of the master of the house. They're not evil unless they take the place of this party. Because then they are more important than the party that this lord of the house is throwing. Then they become idolatrous, and that's where you get into trouble. Master of the house, he's angry that these people won't come. He says, they're not coming. They've got better things to do. Servants, go out there and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Same words that Jesus has just said to his host at this house about whom he should invite. Same words, same order. This is the continuation of the parable. He invited the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and still there was a place there. Still there was a place. He said, my house is going to be filled up. Keep inviting people until there is no place left. All of the people who deserved to be there, or at least thought they deserved to be there, who all had better things to do than to come to the party of the Lord of this house, they're not coming. And all of the people who didn't deserve to be there, who had no right to share in the feast of the Lord or even to be in his house, those are the ones he invites. Those are the ones he brings in. Those are the ones with whom he fills up his house. The ones who have no right and have no deserving. People like us. Jesus says, take the lowest place when you come to a wedding feast. I, a poor, miserable sinner, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. I cannot free myself from my own sinful condition, the lowest place. Jesus says, friend, come up higher. I forgive you all your sins. Come up higher. People who don't deserve even to be in the house of the Lord, let alone share his feast, he invites us in. People like us, he invites in. Come up higher and share my celebration. Share my feast. This is the parable. Parable is never about us. It's always about the Lord. It's always about what he is doing. And when he tells this parable about who the host should invite and where the guests should sit, he's telling us what the kingdom of God is like. He's telling us what God himself is like, how God acts, what God does, how he acts, whom he invites. This is not like any of our parties. This is the party of God. And it's kind of an awkward party. It's kind of a strange party with Jesus there. And in fact, to the world, it looks like death. We might wonder why people don't want to come to a party, why people don't want to come and celebrate with their Lord. It's because to the unbeliever and to the world, this party looks like death. Listen to what Hebrews says. Where is Jesus celebrating? Outside the gates. Reproach and shame. And Hebrews says, let's go out there with Jesus. Because that's where the party is. In fact, it's the only party that there will be forever. The party that Jesus is throwing. It doesn't look all that nice to the world, but to the eyes of faith, we know it's the only party. The only celebration is the one that Jesus is beginning in his death and resurrection. Let's go out there with him. Let's celebrate with Jesus. Let's be where our Lord is, where he's invited us to be. And the fact is, if you go out there, you will die. It is crucifixion. It is death with Jesus. But the thing about it is that if you die with Jesus, it's a guarantee that he will say, friend, come up out of your grave. Share the celebration. The resurrection of the just, that is, the resurrection of the righteous who have been clothed with Christ. Friend, come up here. And on that day, then the party will get started in earnest. It will begin in its fullness. But it's already started. Jesus is risen from the dead. We just haven't seen it yet. But the party has begun, and he has invited the likes of us. And he says, come. Come share my table. Come eat my feast. My body and my blood, it is for you. Friend, come up higher. This is where we share the glory of our Lord. Come up here. And if he has invited the likes of us, then there is no one that he is not inviting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.